Christy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, so different cultures and different programs. And today my visitors are Mary Gordon and Ellie Fulcher. Ellie Fulcher has brought Mary Gordon with her, and Mary Gordon and Ellie, welcome and hi to my radio program.
Hello.
So Mary Gordon is a Canadian educator, social entrepreneur, child advocate, and parenting expert. She is the founder and president of both Roots of Empathy and Seeds of Empathy, non-profit evidence-based programs dedicated to promoting emotional literacy and empathy among children. And Ellie is doing this program in New Zealand, so that's why we have both ladies here. That's great. Mary, it's good to have you here in New Zealand.
Thank you.
And I understand that you started as a kindergarten teacher and you've become a child advocate and parenting expert. Have you always been interested in children and education?
Yes, I think I've always been interested in children. And as a kindergarten teacher, I was very young when I started, and I sent a letter home to all the parents saying, "Your children only speak about you. They love you. Their lives circle around the family. They even speak about the dog, and then there's me."
And I guess the people were very surprised and very pleased.
Yes, I said, you know, I have a fancy education, but I really need your help to be a good teacher. Will you come and help me? Because I always believed that children learn through love. And the parents, of course, all of them came out panicked. Who was this young woman teaching our children? So I had a very beautiful time. I said to the parents, "Can you ask me home for lunch so we can all get to know one another?" So I was welcomed into the home and hearth of all the families of the little children I taught. They were 4 and 5 years old. So what I realized was that, you know, all families do the very best they can with the deal they've been given. All families love their children, but not all families are in a position to do what the children need. So I taught for several years, but then I decided I wanted to do something more deeply to support the children. So I started Roots of Empathy, and Roots of Empathy is offered only in schools. And the idea is that empathy is sort of the secret sauce to our humanity. And the absence of empathy underscores all the violence and harm that is done to children and in society. So realizing that empathy is essential, where do we get it? So what I came to believe from learning from the foot of the families was that it's in that first year of life where the parent or parents, in that attachment relationship to their baby, that's where empathy grows. It either blooms or it fades. And it's nobody's fault. Everybody does the best they can. But I realized if we wanted to break intergenerational cycles of violence and poor parenting, we had to cultivate empathy.
And I just had to think of the saying about it takes a child to raise it takes a village to raise a child. And by getting to know the parents and the families, I think that you were making them part of that village.
Yes, so I was learning from them.
Yes,
they felt they were learning from me, but really, they were my university. And no degrees were given out for that, but I just felt a fuller person, a deeper understanding and a respect and appreciation for the incredible role of family. So I started Roots of Empathy to bring a parent and an infant, 2 months of age to 4 months of age, into a classroom, along with an instructor we train, and the children sit around a big green blanket. And the idea was to help children develop empathy, not by teaching them, because empathy can't be taught in traditional ways, but it can be caught. And the best model for catching it is the parent and the baby. So the idea was over the whole school year, the baby would come basically every 3 or 4 weeks and with the instructor, and the children would be coached to observe this little baby. What's this little baby feeling? So the children are learning to read emotional cues. That's something that we really need to connect in society. You have to be able to understand how the other person might be feeling. And of course, in that discussion, the children learn the names for all the feelings. And then our trick is to take all of that discussion back to the children's experience. When was a time that you felt a bit anxious, like the baby might have been feeling? And on top of that, we teach perspective taking. And we do teach that. And that's a cognitive skill. And that helps children in everything. So our idea of empathy is that there's a thinking part, the cognitive part, which is perspective taking, but then there's also the affective part. And that's so important, and that's the emotion. So with just the cognitive part, you can be a sociopath because you're good at taking perspective. It doesn't mean you care. But with the affective part, with developing emotion, children develop the ethic of care.
And thank you very much. And just for those who've just tuned in and don't know what the program is, it's Muffin Talk, and it's brought by the Mercy Spirituality Center, and we are talking with Mary Gordon, who is the founder of Roots of Empathy and Seeds of Empathy. And if you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our Facebook page or website at Tinga Kawayora Mercy Spirituality Center. And this interview will also be recorded and downloadable on the website. So, Mary, at our Spirituality Center this year, we are in our final weeks of our year of connectedness. You just mentioned the word connected and connectedness. I think that this concept of connectedness is in the heart of your work. Is that right?
Yes. The thing is, with empathy, a child has to first of all connect with themselves. They have to understand how they're feeling. They have to know how to respond to how they're feeling, to regulate how they're feeling. And they need to be able to take the perspective of the other person. If you want to connect with them, empathy is the vehicle. So I think we are becoming increasingly isolated, and that's not a good thing in society. I think there is a crisis of connection. And just this month, I contributed a chapter to a book that is called The Crisis of Connection, and it's out of New York University, and it's so interesting because the book sold out completely in 2 weeks. So we're not alone in thinking that we are worried about how we are connected superficially through our screens. But deeper connections are falling away as we fill the noise in our lives with shallow connections. And for humankind to survive and to thrive, we have to be able to connect to one another, and empathy is required for meaningful connection.
Do you think one of the problems is also that our families are getting smaller, and many children, or they are maybe the same age as their siblings, but they don't have this very young sibling that they can take care of anymore, and you have all these programs for little children, for bigger children, for a grown-up. And I always see this also even in the church, that you have the mass for the young people and you have the mass for mainly older people go there. And you have to choose where you go to, and then you have the family mass. But what about connecting them all together?
Well, it is interesting. I had shared that feeling a long time ago when I set up my first social enterprise, which was a not-for-profit organization where we brought families who had little children, infants to school age, who would be at home with the parent, not in childcare. And the trouble was, the things that were available to them were a program for your baby, and then what do you do with your toddler? Or a program for your preschooler, what do you do with your baby? So we brought the whole group together and celebrated the experience of parenting little children. So that worked incredibly well because it wasn't overly structured. That we wanted people in the neighborhood to be able to make friends with one another. It's harder to make friends these days because everything is so organized. Children go to classes and groups and they might learn to play the clarinet but not learn how to play ball with one another. So
they have a full diary already when they are only 7 years old.
Yeah. I have to say I'm not a proponent of over-programming children because they have to learn how to be playful, how to be creative and imaginative. They need time without structure. And, you know, children are less able now to find interesting things to do without some adult telling them what to do.
And even the games are different if you have everything ready to go, mm-hmm. or if you have to invent your own toys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. But
in a way, you're going back to the roots again.
Yes, I think in simpler times, we had more time with one another. And to be able to know how to have a friend, it takes some time together. And just like little children need to engage in rough and tumble play, they need to be able to throw stones in the water. They need to be able to do things and to be with one another in an unstructured way. And there are fewer opportunities to do that now.
We have at our Mercy Spirituality Center every year an intergenerational forum mm-hmm. where we have older people and younger people discussing topics together mm-hmm. because many older people have their grandchildren overseas and children have their grandparents overseas, and so they don't have a different age group to talk to mm-hmm. and the feedback has been wonderful.
Well, I can really see that, and you know, we started out in Canada. We're really not so much a Canadian program. We're a program of wherever we are. We're in 13 countries. So whether we're speaking German or Maori, the idea of being connected is a concern that we hear everywhere. And I have to tell you, here in New Zealand, you have more connection than many countries where I go. There is a natural kind of a warmth and friendliness that you see here, and you do see more intergenerational than in many countries where we go. But in spite of that, you have your focus on connection.
Yes.
So it is, I think, you know, our increasing technology and our automation, we lose jobs because of automation. We have to find ways to work together, especially given the way the world is going.
But you also have to look in the future and see that you do something now, because if you wait until it's too late, it's more difficult to build it up. Mm-hmm. So back to your program, you said that you have a little child that mm-hmm. visits a group of children in mm-hmm. what age group? 8 years old? Or?
Well, we have a curriculum for year 1 to year 8 in New Zealand, and there's different curricula for the different ages of children. The little baby who comes in and visits regularly throughout the year is between 2 and 4 months when the program starts. And the little baby wears a uniform. The uniform is a T-shirt that says teacher. So if people go to our website, they can see videos of how the program looks. And Allie can tell you about what the program, that's sort of like the profile of the program here in Auckland.
We have 19 programs in Auckland.
In different schools?
Different schools, yes.
So what kind of schools are they? Are they primary schools? And
primary schools, ranging from decile 1 to decile 10.
And what is the reaction of the children when they first have a child as a teacher?
They all fall in love with the baby, without exception.
And how do you find the baby?
Just yesterday I had an inquiry from a mum who's due to have a baby today, asking if she could be part of a program next year. So.
Oh, wonderful. And how does she know about it?
Through her mum, who heard about the program. Yeah. And most of our babies are part of the school community. So the teachers or the principals will find mums who are have just had babies or who are pregnant and look like they might be due around about the right time. And so, as I said, most of them come from the school communities. But there are places like Plunkett, and other organisations that we can go to if we're short of babies.
And I mean, your radio show is a great opportunity for people to learn about the, you know, that they can come nine times over a school year and change children's lives.
Yes.
Because it's the love between the mummy and the baby, or the daddy and the baby. And Ali has had lots of dads come and be amazing. And I mean, the bonus of the dad coming, whether with the mom or on his own, is that the little boys see male nurturance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we live in a macho world. It's so beautiful to see a dad being tender with his baby. Sometimes the classroom teachers who watch this, sometimes they cry. Because it's so beautiful that when the family come, the children sing, in this case, in Māori, to welcome the baby in. And the baby, the daddy or the mommy, hold the baby to face the children who stand up around this green blanket in a circle. And the little children greet the baby by holding the little baby's feet. And the baby looks at each child. And whenever a baby looks at you, you feel deeply seen. And the children feel very special and protective about the baby. And so when Ali might say in her class, how would you feel when our baby comes to kindergarten, starts school, and somebody says you can't play? Mm-hmm. And outrage, the children, nobody would be mean to our baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then we say, well, aren't we all just bigger babies? And that's where the bullying falls off. That's where the aggression falls off. So building around the love and communal care for this little vulnerable person, very resilient but vulnerable person, is huge. And also, you know, Ali would draw the children's attention. So what was it that mommy did when the baby was crying? How did she help the baby? And then the children say, oh, she lifted the baby up, and someone will say, oh, she patted the baby's back, and someone will say, she said, shh, 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 shh. So we talk about neuroscience. What are all the inputs into bringing that baby's stress level down, that cortisol, stress hormone in the baby's brain when they cry, comes down. So that baby is learning through the responses the parent gives how to self-regulate.
How long, when did you start this program?
1996.
So now you have some babies that are grown up?
Yes.
What is the result with the babies? Because they had a lot of siblings.
Well, we've got all around the world, we've got babies who are in school. And, you know, just to tell you a story of one of the school children who experienced Roots of Empathy, and this is last June in North America, but we had a big baby celebration. There were 100 babies on giant green blankets in a great big museum. And this dad came up to me afterwards, and he said, I want to thank you. I said, oh, no, I want to thank you for being a Roots of Empathy dad. And his partner was with him, too. He said, when I was in grade 4, I had Roots of Empathy.
Oh, really?
And he said, it helped me to be a good father. And then his partner said to him, tell Mary what you remember. And he said, I remember that we were all taught that a crying baby is not a bad baby, but a baby with a problem.
Mm.
He said, I remembered you're supposed to put babies to sleep on their back. I remembered you're never supposed to shake a baby. You'll hurt their brain. And he said, and I remember that when the baby's fists are closed, when they're very little, they can't do anything. And he said, I remembered thinking in grade 4 how frustrated the baby can be, because they're like a beached whale. They can't turn over, they can't hold their head up very high, they can't grasp things with their hands, they can't even bat effectively at 2 months. So he said, I feel I understood my baby. And the big thing is, I realize babies don't cry just for physical reasons. They cry for emotional reasons. And I worked with families who had shaken their baby to death, who had said, this baby makes me a bad parent because I've changed the diaper, I fed the baby. The baby has no reason to cry, making me a bad parent. So I dealt a lot with domestic violence and child abuse. So this program helps children know how to be appropriate parents, responsive parents. There's no one right way to parent.
So the children in the classroom, they are just a normal school. It's not children with any problems, or at least you don't know about the problems. It's just an ordinary school.
It's an ordinary school. We try very hard to make ourselves available to schools where there is a lot of poverty in the community or problems that the community might identify. We don't single out any child. We don't want to know about any of the things. It's about all boats rising. And any child who develops more empathy and the ability to understand other people and relate to them is a child who will do better in everything. It actually helps children learn better if they relate better. It removes a lot of the problems. And I think the thing is, in society, we spend a lot of money downstream where things have gone off the rails. Roots of Empathy is about preventing. It's about giving children social-emotional skills that will help them understand themselves and one another. Help them know that you can tell an adult if you're worried. You can tell someone, you know, if something's going wrong. To trust one another. And most of all, to love themselves and to trust themselves. So, you know, a lot of people say that it is a human rights program because we give children voice. It's human rights in the way that we help them understand we're responsible for one another. If someone in this class today is unhappy or worried, it's everybody's job to be a friend.
And the good thing is that they see and can touch the child. It's not like a video that they see where they just see it visually and they don't know what's happening behind the scenes.
That's right.
They see the whole scene. They see the mother or the dad, and they see the child. It's in their midst, and they might do something where the child reacts.
Yes.
Which wouldn't happen if it was just a one-way communication.
Now, see, most people, when they hear about us, they think we're a religious program. And I would say we're probably spiritual. We don't have any particular religious affiliation. We're taken in all kinds of religious schools. And the deal is, this is your secular program in your religious school.
Well, I said what you said earlier, you said it's a secret source of our humanity. And I think that all our religions are trying to be human and to create the dignity, assure the dignity for every humankind, every human person. Yes. And I think that's what you're doing, because you're reminding where we're coming from. We were all little children, and the person we are, depends on how we were treated in the beginning of our lives.
Absolutely, and I think now, because we understand brain development differently, early childhood development and all of the early years of school have a lot to do with the trajectory for later happiness, good health, and contribution to society and to parenting. So if you have a whole year where you're thinking about and talking about how to take care of a baby and what are a baby's emotional needs. And, you know, it's so precious to see the children cheer when the baby hits a milestone. Like one of the early milestones that they hit the roof on is when the baby first learns to flip over. The children cheer. And the first tooth, they celebrate like they're the parent. So this idea of being able to put your love and your concern collectively into a vulnerable human being gives children a unique experience. It's like doing a fundraiser when you're older, that you all come together because you care about something.
How often do they see the child?
9 times over the year, but hopefully, as Ali said, the child is from the neighborhood. Very often, the principal looks for a big belly just before the holiday. And then that parent very often has a young child, and they pick they're back and forth to school, in the grocery store, wherever. They become rock stars. There's our baby.
And how do they get in touch with somebody, with you, for example, here in Auckland?
They can go to our website, and my contact details are there on the website.
Can you name the website?
Roots of Empathy.
www.roots.org.
Yeah, and Ali Fulcher's name is there.
Yes.
For all of New Zealand. She takes care of all of New Zealand, but she lives here in Auckland. And I think her heart beats here. And she's so aware of you know, if you walk down the street with Ali, she's watching for big bellies. She's not beyond accosting some stranger and saying, have you heard about Roots of Empathy?
Well, I wish you all the best to finding the right persons. And I think that you can change the lives of the mothers and fathers also by inviting the child to be the rock star of a class for a while. How long does the program go? You say 9 times a year, but it could be more often if the child is in a neighborhood. Is that right?
No.
It's always 9 times.
The program is really well organized with a lesson plan for each of the 27 classes. The family only comes for 9 of them. And because you have to negotiate really clearly with the school how much time you need and when it's going into the curriculum, you know, when we get to offer it. So it's always over 9 months.
Always, yeah. Okay.
And always respecting the baby's age.
Yeah. Thank you very much. We've come already to the end of the interview. But thank you, Mary, for having come here. And thank you, Ali, for having brought her and for continuing this program here in New Zealand. Thank you very much for your work.
Thank you, Viti.
And what is coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center? On Tuesday, the 27th of November, Sister Helen Bergen will start with the 3 reflections on the title Encountering the Holy Spirit in Advent. You're also welcome to join her for the 2nd and the 3rd session, which will be on the 4th and the 11th of December from 7 to 9 p.m. In December, Sister Christina Cathro will come to our center and facilitate 3 morning retreats with the title Who Are You, O God, and Who Am I? The sessions will be on the 11th, 12th and 13th of December from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And looking forward into the next year, our theme will be gratitude and our program booklets 2019 have been sent out. Please let us know if you would like to receive a booklet or come to our center and pick one up. One of our first programs next year will be a morning with Father Chris Skinner, who will share and teach a number of his musical settings to the Psalms with a theme of gratitude. This music workshop will take place on Saturday, the 23rd of February 2019, from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And for all events at our center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And maybe one last word, Mary, on the roots of empathy. It's a wonderful word.
Well, thank you. Let me just say that love grows brains.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Mary, and thank you, Ali, for having come to the studio. Thank you.